I am not the regular preacher, seeing we have visitors here. I want to make sure they know that. And this is not going to be our typical sermon this morning. First thing I got to ask you, is everybody comfortable? Good, let's get uncomfortable. Let everybody move a few pews forward. Because what we're going to do this morning is we're going to have a talk. We can't have a talk when you're back there. I need you up here. Just come up a few. How you doing this morning?
Hey, what's going on? How
you doing? Doing good. Good to have you. Now you can get comfortable. Because I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to sit and have a talk. I'm not going to stand up and preach to you this morning. I'm not going to tell you to watch out for your toes. We're going to sit down and talk about some things. You know, we've been teaching in classes on the CERT program. And for those who are visitors and don't know what our CERT program is, it's a Christian Emergency Response Program. The world's in crisis, is it not? This world's in a lot of trouble, and we want to make a difference in this world. So for those who don't know what we do, we have gave out bags this year. And in those bags, we make packages that has food, water, pamphlets. And when you see that homeless person on the side of the road and they're asking for money, you pull out this bag that has socks, all the different things they need, and you hand it to them and say, here. And we take care of their physical needs, plus we take care of their spiritual needs. So our classes that we've been talking about, Dale just finished up one this morning, was on how to talk to people about Christ. How to approach. I made him move. Come on up. How to talk to people about Christ. This morning, I want to talk to you how you can influence people. How do you influence people? You know, I taught this class to my firefighters not too long ago about having that circle of influence and the things that go with that. This morning, I want to talk to you about your circle of influence and how you can impact people with Christ. We all have a circle of influence. We have people that we're close to that we can make a difference to, that listen to us, and that pay attention to us because they're family or friends or co-workers, people that we can impact. But how do we influence other people? The concept that I taught to firefighters and was taught to me is a concept that we teach in leadership classes. We also teach in motivational classes. We have a circle of influence, people that we directly can influence, that are directly around us and love to hear what we have to say, and we can have an impact. But we also have, outside of that circle of influence, we have those people we are concerned about. In our circle of influence, if you think about it, you have family members that you worry about when it comes to about Christ. You know they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know they're kind of not living the life you want, and you worry about them. They may be brothers or sisters, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters. We may have friends that we've been friends with for many years that are not Christians. And we have neighbors that we've lived next to for many years that may not be Christians. We have church members who are no longer here. Because let's be honest, we have a good crowd tonight, but we, over the years that I've been here, we've seen less and less people here. And they follow into our area of concerns. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. How do we influence those people? You know, when I started studying this and working on this, this concept I learned in a fire class, but I learned that it's a biblical thing that's gone back many, many years. Christ Jesus taught this concept. That's what I've learned and found out. This is not new to us. This is something Christ brought to us. It was read earlier, you know, the Pharisees asked the disciples, why is Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he focusing on them? Because he knew his area of influence. You look at Jesus' life, how he influenced people. You take the adulterous woman. Jesus, when they brought him to her, or brought her to him, and saying, "Hey, this woman committed adultery. What should we do with her?" And y'all know the story. Jesus kneeled down, wrote in the sand, and stood up and asked everybody there, "One without sin, cast the first stone." And they slowly left. And it was just that adulterous woman and Jesus standing there. And Jesus told her, "Who's left to convict you?" And she said, "No one." "Then I will not convict you either." Jesus built a relationship with an adulterous woman and had an influence on her. You look at the people he healed, the lepers, the lame. These are people that sat on the side of the road, people walk by every day. Didn't think twice about them. Jesus took time to heal them and made it personal with them. Look at the Samaritan woman at the well. And that's a great example of a circle of influence right there. Because Jesus came up and talked to her, and she said, "Why do you deal with me or talk with me? I'm a Samaritan. A Jew shouldn't have anything to do with a Samaritan." And Jesus said, "Well, what I can give you is living water." And told her everything about herself, all the husbands that she had. And what'd she do? She went back and got the whole town and brought them to Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the one they're talking about. He influenced that woman who went out and influenced the whole town to come to listen to Jesus. But how does he do it? And we just read it earlier. He sat with tax collectors and sinners. He sat with them. And I can imagine at that meal, you look at that picture there. He's laughing and talking and there's joy. How many times have you sat down with somebody at dinner and didn't just sit there and ate? It usually brings up conversation and joy. You tell different stories and stuff. Jesus is having a good time with tax collectors and sinners. And the leaders of the church back then their mind were blown. Why would he do that? It's that circle of influence. This was read earlier when they asked that. And it came to pass that as Jesus was eating in the house with many tax collectors and sinners, just not a few, it says many, he sat also together with Jesus and the disciples, for there were many that followed him. There's that point of many. So he was sitting with many tax collectors and sinners. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, he said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" You know, Jesus heard them. Even if they're at the lowest voice that possible, Jesus is going to hear them. And he said this, "On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners.'" You know, Jesus had a circle of influence and a circle of concern because, you know, Jesus cares about every one of his children. So he has an area of influence. He tries to influence, but he has that area of concern. You know, it was back then, it was the scribes and the Pharisees and the Israelite people, his own people. He had it in the areas of concerns. He has church leaders. You and me are in that area of concern when we're not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. But how does he influence people? Christ influences you, or you wouldn't be here this morning. If Christ had no influence on you this morning, you wouldn't walk through this door. So how does he influence others? By influencing you. By encouraging you. Because that's how he influences other people. So we're the Christ tool. Because he's not going to have an impact on this world without you. Do you realize that? If he's not influencing you, he can't change the world. He does it through you. This is the concept that we've learned in the firefighter class and I taught to it. Let me tell you, if you focus on your area of concern, it shrinks your area of influence. You have less impact because you're worried about all those people who will not listen to you. Yeah, when you focus on your areas of influence, like this congregation right here and people in need, people you see every day that will listen to you, you have a bigger influence on more people. I go, wow. When I looked at this and I said, and when I looked at the tie this with biblically and I looked at Christ's life, this is it. He didn't focus on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those church leaders who would not listen to him. He focused on the people who would. That's where he made the biggest difference. You want to change this church, you want to make this church grow, you focus on people you can influence. How do you do that? Let me tell you, it takes love. When we talk about love one another as I have loved you, when we really think about that concept of influencing people, you do it in a loving way. We look at how much love Christ had for us. He was willing to die for us. That's a lot of love there. That's huge. In Romans 12, 9 through 10, it tells us this. Love must be sincere. You got to have a true love for one another. A true love for the people that are out there, as we'll talk about here in a moment. Hate what is evil. Don't hate the person. Hate what is evil. So often we get tied up on what they're doing and not who they are. We get tied up on their sins and not the individual. Hate the sin, but love the individual. Cling to what is good. There's good in all of us. Every one of us. And devote to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do. Put people above you. But that's how much Christ had for us. So much love he had for us. He put himself above us, didn't he? By dying on that cross. We got to do that towards others. If we don't have that love towards others, we're not going to influence them. We're not going to make a difference in them. All right, let's talk for a moment about that area of concern. We all have people we're concerned about. It may be our brother or sister. It may be our mother or father, our son or daughter. It may be a neighbor or friends that we just talked about for a year, or coworkers we worked for years. And we focus on them because they're important to us. And they're in our area of concern, and we hit them up so hard about Christ. And they'll tell us things like this. That's what you believe. That's your interpretation. All you want to do is preach to me. My God is a loving God. Have you heard that before? You think you're the only one that's going to be saved. You know, what we got to realize is it's their decision to follow Christ. If we focus on those loved ones, and I know it's hard, brothers and sisters, I know it's hard. They're close to us, and we want to hit them every day about that, about who they are and where they're at in their lives. But we're not influencing them. I hate to tell you, but it's their decision to follow Christ, not yours. And when you focus on that, you focus on that area of concern, that area of influence shrinks down. Because other people see you're just hitting them hard. And then they'll start to be saying the same thing. Well, that must be his interpretation. And you have less and less influence. You know what the Lord tells you to do? The Lord tells us that, this is an example, Lori, if we focus on those things of our area of concerns, we have less and less influence on people. This is what he says. You know, let me give you the background on this. You know, Christ sent off his disciples two by two. Y'all remember that story? To go preach and teach on a short mission. Christ, before he sent them off, he took them to his hometown. You know why he took them to his hometown? Christ was there in his hometown earlier, and they rejected him. His own kinsmen, his own brothers rejected him. They wanted to take him out and kill him, but the Lord just ended up leaving. Why would you take your disciples back there and get rejected again? It was a valuable lesson. He wanted his disciples, when I send you off two by two, this is the first time they sent them off by themselves, that you're going to be rejected by your kinsmen, by your family, by whoever's around you. And he told them this after he got rejected and they saw that. He told them this. When I send you off, he says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. He said, all right, you did your part. You're done. They're not listening to you. Do not waste you on your areas of concerns. Focus on your areas of influence, because you're going to have people who are going to listen to you. But you go, Brother Bear, I love them. I want to influence them. I'm going to show you here in just a moment how you can influence them, how you can make a difference. But at this point in their lives, if they reject God's word, dust off your feet. Focus on the areas that you can influence. Move on. Because once you start focusing on your areas of influence, you have an impact, your area of concern shrinks. You have a bigger impact on people. So we should be focused on, like Jesus did, we should be having those conversations with people who will listen to us. Two quick stories I want to tell you this morning. You know, that care package we've been talking about that we give out on the emergency certs, and there's plenty of them back there. So if you're out, just go back there, and there's more back there. Visitors, if you want to see the bags and you want some of the stuff in there, I'll give you a bag so you can have it. You can influence people. But there's a gentleman in Petersburg that I've been coming up to the light, and about every 2 weeks he's there. I give him a bag with socks and water and snacks and food. All y'all know what we have in those different bags. And I even put a little dog biscuit because he has a dog there with him. And then as I roll down the window to give him that bag, as more and more times that I've been stopping there, we've been developing a conversation. So the next time now I'm feeling comfortable because he's talking about things that are going on. The next time I see him, I'm going to pull over to the side of the road and we're going to have a conversation. So there's an area of influence that you have on people. That you, now that he's impacted, he's probably telling, man, they bring me this bag. He's got friends. It has all this stuff in it, and it has all this other stuff about God in it. Maybe we ought to look into that. That's the area of influence. Walter, I don't mean to embarrass you this morning. Where are you at, Walter? There he is. And I may not get your story completely right, but there's a story Walter told me. Walter went to Rose's one day, and I think Judy sent him to Rose's to go get something. And Walter got there, and he collected cars years ago, not too long ago, and they were selling a bunch of those miniature cars there, and they were on sale. So he started going through it. And this gentleman walked up, total stranger, walked up, and they started a conversation. An hour later, they're still talking. I think if I get the story right, Judy called him and says, where are you at? Well, Walter goes, oh, I gotta go. He said 30 minutes later, he's still there. And Judy told me, Walter don't know no strangers. He don't know no strangers. That's the way we need to be. We don't need to know no strangers. Because you've got that person behind the counter at the bank that you may see on a regular basis. Or the grocery store that you run on a regular basis, that you talk to and you don't even realize you're building a conversation with. Or a new neighbor shows up. Those are the people you need to focus on and influence, because you're developing a relationship with them that you never even thought about. When you're over here in that area of concern, you're missing that opportunity in that area of influence, people. Because we are a relationship type person. Somebody in class today, and was talking about that when somebody walks in this door of this congregation, they're automatically family. That's the way they should be treated. That's the way they are. That's the way it should be. And they're 100% right. Anybody who walks through this door is automatically one of our family, because now they're a part of our influence, circle of influence. So that's what we need to focus on. How do we do that? Mark 12:29-31, Jesus answered him saying, "For the first of all, the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one." We only have one God. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. It is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." How we love people, that's where we make the difference. They see that we are sincere in our love for one another. And we're sincere in love for them. It can be a total stranger like Walter. As soon as an hour and a half with a man he never met before. He probably still talks to him today. They see that love that we have towards other people. You know this verse. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Let me tell you something about a lighthouse. You know, probably never really thought about before. You see the light well before you ever see the lighthouse. So when you do something good for somebody, other people see it and don't even know that it's you. You have impact on the way you treat others, that your light expands out to those areas of concerns. You want to make an impact for that brother or sister or mother or father or aunt and uncle, friend or neighbor, stop talking to them about Christ. Just love them. Because they've already decided they're done with him, and you can't make that decision for them. But when they see your loving care as Christ, they're going to say, "Hey, why are we not arguing about Christ anymore?" Can you just tell them? That was your choice, not mine. You decide not to listen anymore, so I'm just going to love you. I'm going to do what I need to do. And they can open their eyes and see how you have influence on other people, how you make a difference in other people's lives. And they see that light keep going back and forth. That's where you have the impact. That's where you expand your areas of influence and push it out. It's caring for those who are around you. And those complete strangers that you don't even know. That's where you can make the impact. You know, this is the verse, Matthew 5:14-16. Just about everybody in this room knows this verse. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stick, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify" who? Because let me tell you how that works. When you start blessing other people and they start blessing other people, they don't know where the blessing comes from. What do most people do? "Thank the Lord that I got this blessing." And that's what it's supposed to be, and that's how it's supposed to be worked. We're not looking for anything to get back out of it. We put the blessings out and let the Father get the glory. Because we go back to that one slide where you saw the cross in Christ influencing you. That's how he influences others. And he can't do it in a negative way when we're pushing against our areas of concerns of people who don't want to listen to us. We focus on areas that we can influence and we can make the difference. That's what we need to focus on. So my question for you this morning, because I'm not preaching to you, so it's not a long sermon. Hopefully it's not a long sermon. I might have been talking for a while and not realize it. My question for you this morning is this. Where are you focusing your concern at? Where are you focusing your efforts at? Is it here in this church, helping this church grow? Because I'm telling you, if this church grow, we'll have a bigger and bigger influence, will we not? Or is it focusing with love people who will listen and that a neighbor next to you that you talk to every day, or that co-worker, you've been a co-worker forever, or a friend that you've been there forever that likes you and listens to you? Or are you focused on those ones that you argue with about Christ? It tells you, that's your interpretation. My God's a loving God. I don't know how to do that. Or you always preach to me. Where are you focusing your efforts this morning? Let me ask you something else. Are you struggling with something this morning? Is there something heavy on your heart and you don't know how to handle it this morning? Is there something that's just pulling at you and just eating at you this morning? Well, this morning, guess what? You're in your area of influence. We're here to influence you, and you're here to influence us. So you're a part of the family. So we want to hear and help you, get you through your concerns, or get you through your problems, because we influence one another. It's a loving congregation. If you ain't figured that out, it's a loving congregation. So you're there where you need to be. Our elders are awesome. Our deacons are awesome in what they do in this congregation. So if there's anything, I just want you to think about that as we're singing this morning the song. Ray, you going to go to the back? And Dale will be up front. And those who are visitors and don't know, our elders, when they're all here, they're all up front or all in the back. So in other words, if you have a private prayer and you need, you go back there and the leaders of this church are going to pray for you. And when you have something in need, come to the congregation, all our elders are up front. They lead from the front. They lead with love from the front. And it's one of the most impressive things that I think I've seen growing up into the church. So if there's anything we need, this whole congregation, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm telling you, I've been there, I've seen it, and I've been affected by it already. So if there's anything we can do, Wesley, will you lead us in an invitation song?